We are concluding today our month-long emphasis on missions and outreach, making a local and global difference under the title of Commissioned. And today's message is called How to Love Where You Are. Not how to love where you are, but how to love wherever you are. You know, you may not really love where you are. I'll meet people from time to time and they'll say, you know, I live here in the greater Houston area, but I don't really love living here. So how can you not love living here? They say, well, it's hot here. It's humid here. I said, are you telling me you like cold weather? And they'll say, yeah, I like cold weather. You mean to tell me you like cold, snow, ice? And I said, yes. That's absurd to me. Absolutely. That's just absurd. I don't understand deranged thinking like that. You know, I get up early this morning. I'm going to sit outside, have a cup of coffee. It's 43 degrees. That's just wrong. That's just wrong. Now, tomorrow, our high is supposed to be what? 78, and our low, 68. That is how it should be, right there. There you go. Not how to love where you are, but how to love wherever you may be. Because to make a global difference, it happens how? Life on life. Your life touching another life. And I believe that God has you where you need to be. And you could go through life, you know, this kind of passive spectator thing. Well, I hope I like it here. Or you could live on purpose, on mission, knowing that God has you somewhere. And wherever you are, you can bring the juice. You can bring the love of Christ with energy and purpose and passion. And you can actually bring it. God has you where you can make that kind of difference. So how do you love where you are? We're going to walk through a section of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. And I'm going to make 4 points from what the Apostle Paul has to say. How to love where you are? Here we go. Point number 1. Be authentic. Be authentic. Genuine, transparent. Let's read this. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. Notice he's telling you right up front who he is. Well, you shouldn't really try to persuade anybody to. No. He says, I know the Lord, and I'm telling you, I try to persuade others to trust and follow Jesus Christ. I'm not hiding anything here in my mission. And what we are is plain to God, and hopefully it's plain also to you in your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen, an image, reputation, rather than what is in the heart. It says, be authentic. I am. A couple of weeks ago, I went to my when I say I am, I'm saying that's what Paul says. He says, be authentic. My message and who I am personally. A couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to go to my 40th college reunion. You say, Ronnie, I had no idea you were that old. But I am. And so I had to be in Tennessee anyway for something. So I stayed over, went to my 40th college reunion. And it was a ball. We had a fabulous, fabulous time. My undergraduate degree is from Freed Hardeman University. It's a private university in Tennessee, in small town Henderson, Tennessee. It's a beautiful area, located about an hour and 15 minutes from Memphis. And a girl in our class, a woman in our class, Susan Scott, now Susan Scott Bradford, she sent an email to all of us from the class in 1979. And the gist of the email was as follows. She said, look, we're not going to get together and compare resumes. We're not going to get together and compare edited photos. What we're going to do is we're going to come together and reconnect, and reminisce, and celebrate, not a single one of us has made it through the last 40 years unscathed. All of us have some bumps and bruises, some successes, some failures. We all do. And if you've not had a broken world experience yet, you will. It's just around the corner. So we're not going to come in and just compare superficialities. We're going to come in and just be us and say hi and connect. And it was terrific. We did that for 2 days, on Friday and Saturday, a couple of weeks ago. On Saturday, we had a luncheon. The university hosted a luncheon, did a great job. And all of us who were there, you know, we stood and kind of told a little bit about where we are now, what's going on. And some of the folks, had really gripping, touching stories, what they were going through like now. A lot of it was just hilarious. You know, people just talking about their life. One of my favorites was from J.E. Miller. J.E. was our, now he's Dr. J.E. Miller. He was our student body president for the last 35 years. He's been with the University of Illinois. He stood and he said, you know, everybody, it's great to see you, great to be here. And he told a little bit about his work life. And then he said, yes, and I am still unmarried. I am never married. I am single by choice, not necessarily my choice, but single by choice. He said, I've proposed before, but she said, no, my choice is that you remain single. And so, that was his story. He was just authentic and genuine. And you know, everybody was. And there's something about that. You know, what was it Paul said in describing himself? I am the chief of sinners. I am the chief. A few years ago, I did a sermon here, and at the beginning of the sermon, I said, at the close of this message, I'm going to name the biggest sinner in this church. When it was over, one guy went up to one of his buddies, and he said, I bet you were sweating bullets through that whole sermon, weren't you? Paul said, you want to know who the chief of sinners? Me. And sometimes, he says, and even to this day, sometimes the things I want to do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. When people are authentic and genuine and real, this is who I am, some successes, some failures. You know, we're not an open book to everybody, but to somebody. But we can all say, listen, the hero, if there is a hero in my life, it's not me. I can't brag on me. The only thing I can do, says the Apostle Paul in Scripture elsewhere, I can brag on Jesus. I can boast in the cross. I can boast in how good and wonderful the Lord is. But he's the hero of the story. So be authentic. Secondly, be bolder. Be bolder. Verse 13, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Let that sink in. For Christ's love compels us. Love here is not being defined as some sort of marshmallow niceness. We're taking the love of Christ, that kind of purposeful energy that calls you to trust and follow Christ, and Christ's love compels me to love where I am. Because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Don't gloss over that. He says, I am convinced that one, that is Jesus, died for us all. Therefore, all of us are covered under the sacrifice of Christ. Christ has been punished for us. Therefore, our punishment has already taken place. So that when we receive Christ, what? We stand before God, redeemed, forgiven. This is incredible news. He says, I'm convinced of this. And therefore, We can be bolder. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. You know, you can serve the Lord out of a sense of guilt. You can. But you can only serve the Lord with joy, in response to his amazing grace. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he never graduated from being bold about the gospel of grace. And bold Christians may appear to be out of our minds to the world, but if our message is true, if it is true that through Jesus Christ we receive forgiveness and the promise of eternal life and the purpose to every day, then that is the single most important choice anyone will ever make, to trust and follow Jesus. And so let's not be timid about it. Let's not apologize for it. Let's be bold and bolder. Now, that doesn't mean that we're heavy-handed. In Colossians chapter 4, the Bible will say this: be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace. Give thought to just how you talk and what you talk about. You could be a critic, or you could be full of grace. You can be a complainer, you'd be full of grace. You can be a whiner, you can be full of grace. You can always focus on the negative. You can be full of grace. Make the most of your opportunities. And let your conversation be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so, as a church, let's love where we are and show God's love to the people he puts around us. You know, there's a study done by Hope International University, and it basically tells us what we already know. And that is, the longer you are a Christian, the less you tend to give thought to outreach. It's just true. The longer we're a Christian, the less we tend to give thought either to outreach, to winning someone to Christ, or to win them back to Christ. Why? Because we, over time, tend to get in our groups, which are wonderful, and we tend to emphasize camaraderie, as opposed to ministry. Let me ask you today, not to jettison camaraderie. Camaraderie is wonderful, but to make sure that we add to it this sense of ministry, where we can make the most of opportunities to put in a good word for Christ, to try to lead someone through an open door, or to bring them back to Christ. Hey, let me just ask you point blank. When was the last time you prayed for somebody? A relative, a friend who's outside of Christ? When was the last time you just invited or suggested to someone that they visit a church? You know, we can talk about a lot of things. A lot of you talk about your kids. A lot of us, we talk about our grandkids. People don't want to hear it. We talk about them anyway. By the way, do you know that we're going to have another grandchild in about a month? Yeah, how about that? Yeah. So our daughter, Mary Beth, sitting right over here, she's about a month away. And anybody has any name suggestions, feel free to, you know, throw them our way. We're excited about this. And so here I am. See, I'm happy to talk about grandkids. And but just as this was an opportunity and I made this opportunity, we want to make the most of our opportunities to talk about Christ. And so when was the last time we even prayed for these opportunities? Thirdly, so be authentic, be bolder. Thirdly, be perceptive. And I mean here, be perceptive about the potential in people. Verse 16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Isn't that interesting? We regard no one from a worldly point of view. The world evaluates people by externals. The world thinks you're worth something if you're really beautiful, or if you've achieved something that others haven't achieved, or if you're really wealthy. Otherwise, the world might dismiss you as being ordinary. Paul says, we don't want to evaluate people the way the world does. He said, I once regarded Christ this way, but no longer do I think that way. He said, there was a time I thought of Jesus and I thought, who is he? He's not a trained rabbi. What are his academic credentials? But once you realize, hey, he's been raised from the dead, that changes things. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here, and that's not easy to do. If you've ever done any house remodeling, you know that taking the old out, putting the new in, that is not a piece of cake. And so be perceptive with the potential that people have to be transformed under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. I mean, who would have thought that Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, would become a great proclaimer of the gospel? Who would have thought that vacillating Simon Peter would have become a rock-like leader? Who would have thought that Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons were cast, would be the first to see the resurrected Jesus? Who would have thought that Zacchaeus, the greedy swindler, tax collector, would be willing to give away half of his resources? Who would have thought that the woman at the well, who had been divorced 5 times and was now living with a man, not her husband, would become one of the most effective evangelists in all of Samaria? And so when you see that person at work, when you're around that person this week at the family gathering, do we tend to just see them as a project or as a label? Les Parrott has written a book called High Maintenance Relationships. And in that book, he just chronicles a lot of different types of relationships. And you start reading through the book and you go, okay, well, I know that person. Those people could read that book and go, well, I see Ronnie there. I see you there. All of us, someone at some point said, I have a vision for what you can become under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes someone will say to me, oh, Ronnie, you don't know my ex. You don't know my uncle. You don't know my grandfather. I just don't think they would ever be open to Christ. Andrew Murray once said, beware in your prayers above everything of limiting God. So let's not see people as projects or as problems, but people to love and to be served and to pray for. Be authentic. Be bolder. Be perceptive to see the potential in that person under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. And last of all, be ministers, willing to serve. All this, verse 18, is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. This is the ultimate call, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Again, don't gloss over that reading. How beautiful is that? That God is reconciling us to himself. He does it through Christ. And listen to this. He doesn't count our sins against us. Quick, in your own mind, name 5 of your own sins. Not out loud. In Christ, they don't count. It doesn't count. Strike 1, strike 2. In Christ, it doesn't count. Outside of Christ, it counts. In Christ, it doesn't count. And so we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador represents one nation to another. And we, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors. We don't want to make Christ anonymous. We want to make Christ known. We want him to be well represented, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's say you've got a younger couple living in your neighborhood. You find out that they're $200,000 in debt. You don't have the money to help them. You tell a friend of yours about this. All of a sudden, that friend says, I've got the resources to help. And that friend writes you a check for $400,000 to take to that young couple. They're about to be evicted from their home. They're about to lose their cars. They're in dire need. And he writes this check. He says, I want you to remove their debt, and then I want you to give them the remainder as a help to assist them in a new chapter, a going forward chapter in their life. Listen, we associate with people every day who have this huge unpayable debt, and they're ground down under it, and Satan is eager to make them pay. But God, who is rich in mercy through the riches of Jesus Christ, has come and he's paid off that debt entirely. But he also says, my righteousness can be imputed to you to help you, to push you forward in a new season of life. And so God's given us this ministry of reconciliation, this wonderful opportunity to win people and to win them back to Christ. Let's not be prima donnas with a condescending spirit. Let's not be heavy-handed, high-pressure salesmen and women trying to twist people's arm. We have this ministry, which means we can serve, we love, we help. We can be the presence in our work, in our neighborhood, in our homes. We can just serve and minister and make the most of the opportunities to lead people to Christ and back to him. It's amazing the influence we can have. Okay, this past Thursday night, Martha and I went to the Texans game. We saw the Texans beat the Colts on Thursday night, so we had a date night, had a great time. A friend of mine here in the church gave us a couple of tickets. I'm not going to tell you who, because you'll start to hit him up for those tickets. And so we go, sitting beside us at the game was a young woman. I'm going to say maybe she's around 30 years old or so. And it, you know, we started to realize that she was there alone. Just all on her own. She had two cell phones with her, and she was constantly on these two cell phones. So Martha starts chatting it up with her, and then Martha taps me and says, hey, this is Angie. You need to meet her. She works for the NFL. Really? Yeah. Yeah, she works for the NFL, and she writes for the NFL.com, and one of her jobs is to travel around from stadium to stadium and chronicle and evaluate the NFL experience. Like, for example, this was her first time at NRG Stadium, and she's evaluating the clear bag procedures. She's evaluating, you know, the game atmosphere, crowd behavior, music level, and she'll give a report, and she'll write it all up. I asked her if we'd be able to read her report, and is she planning to mention two annoying people who were sitting right beside her? And she promised not to. But here's what I want you to do. Would you be willing to step back and just sort of evaluate yourself a little bit and just ask, can I be more authentic? And make sure that people know that I believe in the grace of Jesus Christ, that he's my hero. And Is it possible for me to become bolder? Maybe I've been too timid and I've not been making the most of my opportunities. Is it possible for me to become more perceptive and to see? I'm not going to write this person off or just, classify them by a label. This person, under the grace of God, under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, and over time, who knows what can happen? Listen, we serve a great God, and in Christ, your past can be behind you. You can know that His power can be in you through the Holy Spirit. And He has so many opportunities before us. And it's a lot of fun to serve Him.